to a global focus with this evening's guest, co-host of Second Sight NYC. Websites, www.secondsightnyc.com and www.secondsightnycradio.webs.com. Welcome, everyone, to tonight's edition of A Global Focus. Trish Sheridan speaking. This week's program features as return guests internationally recognized psychic medium Chris George and Stephanie Benetti, co-hosts of the Second Sight NYC radio program. Both A Global Focus and Second Sight NYC air live on the Paranormal Radio Network with anchor station UPRN 107.9 FM New Orleans and several listening venues noted at UFOParanormalRadio.com. Thanks to Joe Montaldo for making these programs possible. Tonight's guests are Chris George, psychic medium, and Stephanie Benetti, co-hosts of the Second Sight NYC radio show, broadcast live on Thursdays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on 107.9 FM and the Paranormal Radio Network and affiliates. This show, Second Sight NYC, is an extremely popular program, reaching a very large audience of live listeners each week, and the show continues to increase in its listenership numbers. Tonight, Chris and Stephanie will discuss the latest developments in their field research, as well as upcoming events, including the Paranormal Expo 2012 conference, June 16th and 17th in Moravia, New York. We're looking forward to hearing a great intro tape for that, a promo tape at the break. Sounds like a wonderful event. And just quickly, back to our esteemed guests here. Our guest, Christopher George, is a psychic medium who uses a straightforward approach. Chris George advises clients and radio show listeners to not ask him a question for which they don't want an answer. It's searchable. Chris often is referred to as the guy next door type. Clients feel at ease when speaking with him, although Chris most frequently performs psychic readings. He also channels and performs channeled healings, seances, aura readings, space clearings, exorcisms, candle magic, and dream interpretations. Chris also hosts psychic and healing retreats. In addition, Chris George serves as the lead psychic investigator for the paranormal investigative team, Second Sight Paranormal. Chris has appeared as featured guest on many TV and radio shows, including the Maury Povich Show and the Joyce Keller Radio Show. For four seasons, Chris was the host of the Second Sight TV show. Chris has been a featured guest on The Psychic Eye, The Other Side of Reality, Psychically Speaking, as well as a featured lecturer at the Queen's Psychic Club. Now turning to our wonderful second guest, Stephanie Benetti is the Second Sight NYC radio show's co-host, as well as technical director, paranormal investigator, and the lead photographer. Stephanie conducts all evidence analysis, including EMF readings, EVP analysis, film, and photos. Stephanie also is the website designer. Chris, the audience and I are so happy to welcome you, and you have several important research developments and upcoming events to mention to us.
Well, we have a lot of things coming on, Therese, that's for sure.
Well, hi, Therese, and thanks for having us. We've been on the radio quite a bit this week.
Well, I'll tell you, we did a radio show on Monday, we did our show on last night, and now we're doing your show. I mean, I'm wondering if people are getting sick of us. Don't answer that in the chat room.
I'm not saying anything.
Not at all, because you know, Chris and Stephanie, you are considered by your clients and the network principals, hosts, and your extensive audience as field experts, parapsychic experts, performing state-of-the-art research services in your fields. But, you know, I want to make sure to get to this information. It's so important on these upcoming events. Now, I noticed some great photos from your recent seance. There's an upcoming seance. And several other important events, and also an upcoming exorcism this weekend. Then let's go to that New York Expo and other details of your great services. Okay, let's discuss the seances first.
All right, Steph, why don't you start?
Well, recently, I guess it was last week, we had a seance at a house, and we did post a picture. I do believe you saw that, Therese.
Beautiful home,
There were about 15 people there. It was a nice seance.
Yeah, it was a very nice, actually, the point of the, well, let's just talk about seance in general, because you've done many, many of them.
Yeah, hundreds. Basically, a seance, the way I conduct it is, see, seances are done in different ways, and I think the proper way to do a seance is when a medium, a trance medium does it, because the medium actually becomes the spirit, which is the way I do seances. A lot of people call psychic circles seances, but that's not true. That's when a bunch of people get in a circle and kind of simulate a seance, and they just give readings to each other. To me, that has nothing to do with a seance. That's just, you know, psychics giving readings to each other. The proper way to do a seance, like I said, is to actually channel the spirit and become the spirit. So I've been doing this for a lot of years, and last week was one of the really good ones, actually.
And the thing about last week's seance, it was significant because everyone in the room fully was into it.
And that's important, because when it comes to seances, you gotta do what you put into it. For instance, if you're going to hide behind somebody, the spirit isn't going to talk to you. You have to be into it. You have to ask questions. You have to be very present in the seance and to get the most out of it. And last week, I guess the people who had come were so into it and so willing to connect with spirit. And, you know, they really worked with me really well that night. And we actually channeled quite a bit. How many spirits did I channel, Steph? About six or seven?
Something about that, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive.
I mean, we have a nice setup on the table as well. I mean, you should mention that, just to give a visual.
Well, yeah, you know, we set up the table the way it's supposed to be set up. We put out, you know, things that represent the seance. Like, I put out a rosary bead, something Catholic, because I'm Catholic. And it doesn't matter what religion you are, really. But for me, being the medium, I need to represent, you know, my belief system. I put that out. I put all my gemstones out, my crystals, candles and whatnot, orange peel and sage for protection and grounding. And we just take it from there. I can't say enough how happy I was with the people who came to the seance. Actually, one or two of the people in the chat room tonight, it was really a fantastic event.
And it was very powerful at points in time. You know, people just really took it seriously. And just to mention, we've done other seances and that haven't actually turned out as good. And maybe I think, you know, we're in the element of it's my home and we have the setting exactly as we like it. We select people to attend, you know, that we do believe we'll get something out of it. Chris has been also asked to do seances at other people's houses, like events. You know, they'll have 10, 15 people. 20. Right.
I've had as many as 36 people at a seance.
And those, or the one of them in the recent past, and I always like to just put it in perspective of, you know, well, why things go so well sometimes and sometimes not so much. The one that we went to at this person's house, there was about 15 women, and they were drinking before we got there and babbling, and just no one knew really what to expect. And we had one person who actually didn't say a word, sat behind someone, and they got very upset at the end that she didn't get anything out of it. You want to talk about that?
Well, she didn't get anything out of it because she didn't put anything into it. You know, you can't expect the psychic medium, while channeling the spirit, to do everything. I can only do what the spirit will allow me to do. And if somebody's at the seance hiding behind somebody, not talking, not participating, chances are, you know, they're not going to get anything out of it. And I think it's important to say that. I think that, like you said, there were 15 people there. 14 people there were blown away. They loved it. They couldn't stop talking about it afterwards. It was that one person who just really didn't participate that, you know, said she didn't get anything out of it. But I think that's a pretty good percentage, 14 out of 15.
It happens.
Yes, those seemed like very positive results. And from the photo, it looked like such a gracious setting with wonderful attendees and, of course, moderators and leaders like yourselves. Now, real quick question. You know, on the lady who didn't receive a response, do you think, my guess here is, perhaps she's just so emotionally wrapped up, perhaps with trying to reach a past friend or relative. To me, perhaps a psychic reading might be a great idea for her. She might just be very emotional about some past issues or just key concerns with a past loved one or relative.
I agree with that she was, as I recall, upset about someone specific. However,
but I could channel that spirit.
But you answer the question.
Oh, okay.
But the thing is, she also had blocks up. Like,
yes.
She came to it and said, I don't know what this is. I don't know if this is going to work. It's not. And then as everyone else was getting, you know, questions answered and some of it was closure from past, you know, relatives that had passed on. And I actually felt she was, like, envious for the people around her. She was It takes all types.
You know what it is? When so many people are having such a good time and enjoying what's going on and getting, like you said, closure, a lot of those girls got closure that night. Very emotional things came up. And I think that maybe she was a bit jealous that she didn't get as much out of it as they did. But I think it's important to say that Spirit came through and did tell her how her friend had passed, what led up to his thing, and I mean, very spot-on type stuff, but she still wasn't satisfied. But that I don't understand.
Just another noteworthy thing I'd say is this is predominantly women, and I believe most of the psychic readings are as well. So we did have a couple guys there, and one of which, you know, they come with their arms crossed, you know, very standoffish. We don't know what we're doing here, you know. One of them just said in the beginning, like, I'm just leaving. He left. He was someone's boyfriend or whatever.
Right.
But the other one who did participate, he got a lot out of it.
I think he got the most out of anybody.
Yeah, so it's kind of ironic. But, you know, needless to say, it men don't normally believe,
you know,
in it.
And you know what's interesting, Steph, now that you say that? The last seance that we did, where you just posted that picture on Facebook.
It was like 50%.
It was 50-50. And I think that one guy actually got, I mean, his mom came through and really gave him closure, not only him, but also his girlfriend. So you never know what's going to happen at a seance, Teresa. I mean, every seance
unique.
Is unique. It really is, because you never know what spirit threw. You never know what's going to be said. You never, it's just so unique. Every single one is different.
It sounds like a very exciting and informative and helpful event. And, you know, my last thought on that lady, too, is, you know, some people really do take a year or two to get over the passing of a relative or friend. She may feel more calm and more receptive on a couple of months' time. But sometimes that does occur. People just get too upset about a passing. They're even too upset to think about it for about a year or so or longer. But hopefully she'll get over that. But, boy, it sounds like a wonderful seance, very helpful to so many there. That's really quite a record, really be producing those strong results for the very vast majority of the attendees. Now, is there an upcoming seance in the very near future? I think there is.
Yeah, you know, we were actually just talking tonight. I'm thinking about doing another seance not next Saturday, the following Saturday. I'm thinking about doing another.
No, it'll have to be two Saturdays after that. We have something else to talk about.
Oh, okay. Well, we're in about three Saturdays.
I'm the scheduler.
Yeah, she schedules everything. She's the one who keeps me in line. But, we have another one coming up, and we'll be posting it on Facebook and putting it out there on the radio show and on the Internet and whatever, and I'm sure we'll have another 15 or 20 people.
And we always encourage anyone who listens to the show, you know, contact us. And if you're in, I would even say, like, the tri-state area or in New York specifically.
This past seance, we had somebody from Connecticut. We had somebody from Jersey come in.
Right. So, you know, if people are interested, you know, certainly get in touch with us and we'll incorporate them into the next one.
Boy, I'd love to attend one of your events, and so would Jay-Z as well. I know this Sunday there is going to be a major family conference for his very extended Italian family, their American-Italian family there in Massachusetts. And, boy, we hope to arrange something so we get a chance to stop by and visit you people for one of your wonderful events sometime
in July. I'll tell you what.
Mm-hmm.
If we can make that happen, it will happen. We'll have a great time. I will do a special seance for you and Jay-Z, and we will
then talk about it on the radio.
Talk about it on the radio, yeah.
Boy, that sounds exciting, and boy, very much appreciated. And we've got a great coming, incoming question from Hagarish. Hi, Hagarish. Hope I'm correctly, Nick, a great room visitor and researcher. Now, you know, I had mentioned this during our last interview, and of course, that was a great interview. I found that very helpful as well. So did our audience. Now, with your personal readings, Chris, they're so very helpful in helping people determine the best options for their career and life paths. Chris, are you getting more readings and requests for psychic services during this downturn in the economy and with all of the chaos going on just generally?
Without a doubt. And we've spoke about this before. You know, the bad economy hasn't affected me. Actually, it's been better for me. I think people right now everywhere are looking for something to believe in. And they come to psychics. I'm not just saying me. I mean, a lot of psychics. I can't speak for every other psychic. I'll speak for myself. But, you know, it seems like people are looking for something to believe in. And it just seems that they're reaching out to psychics right now. And I'm grateful for it. And, you know, it just seems that way to me.
And just to even mention, even paranormal shows, everything has been mainstream more than ever. I mean, you can't put on the television without there being some kind of paranormal show on.
Yeah, you know, the downside of this is because people are looking for closure and for answers right now, there are a lot of fake psychics, charlatans, frauds, fakes, phonies, you know, people ready to take advantage of people, and they're all over the place. And I would recommend that people don't just go to somebody who isn't recommended. Don't go to, you know, the neighborhood, you know, the store that says $10 palm readings, because that's all a front for something else. I would stay away from places like that. You know, find somebody who's reputable and go with them. And it's also important to know that not every psychic is for you. For instance, I did a big event here in New York. There was about, I don't know, actually Stephanie's at the event. There had to be about four. And I gave, I think, 25 readings that night. 24 of the readings were, I mean, outstanding. One woman sat down, crossed her arms, and you know what? I couldn't pick up anything on her. And does it happen? Absolutely it does. But it's at that point where you could tell the fake psychics from the real psychics. Because a fake psychic will just start, you know, telling you very generalized things and just to make you feel good. A real psychic will say, you know what? I'm sorry, I'm just not picking up anything on you. And what I did at that moment was, there were, I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 other psychics at this event. I asked one of the other psychics, could we switch people? And he said, yeah, sure. Or she said, yeah, sure. We switched, and I gave that 25th person, you know, a very good reading. So it's important to go to people that are reputable, people that aren't going to try and scam you and, you know, take your money, give you false hope, because there's a lot of that out there. So it's important to do your homework when contacting a psychic.
Yes, and I'm receiving comments here directly into the room to the effect that you're an awesome psychic, Chris, and Chris is also always available for phone readings. And, you know, sometimes when I've been in on, and I am with Stephanie, I think it's happened to me twice, either on a phone, I think I am, perhaps also on a phone call, but definitely I am. I just felt this wonderful psychic, kind presence somehow in the area. Indeed, I do believe you're an awesome psychic. And,
thank you. You
and Steph are just one great team, and your paranormal investigative service, too, is also a very professional and a very productive group there as far as helping people find answers. Now, let's discuss this upcoming exorcism. Boy, that sounds exciting. It's going to be this weekend?
It's going to be next Saturday. I think it's the 17th or the 19th, whatever Saturday.
The 19th.
Steph, why don't you tell us this came about?
Well, this came about from time to time, and I'd say actually more frequently, I guess. We get calls from people, or people write to us on the website or contact us somehow via Facebook or whatnot, and they need help. And so we received an email to the website, and the person said that, you know, they said their name, and they said that they believe they have a spirit attachment.
Actually, what he said was a demonic spirit attachment.
For the past 8 years. What else did the mail say?
Well, he said that he's been getting attacked every night for 8 years. It's ruined his life to the point where he can't hold down a job. He can't have a relationship. He could barely function.
He's sick all the time.
Sick all the time. Suicidal.
He was frail looking when we eventually seen him. But so he writes. So the person writes this mail, and so we contact them, and you know we always do this little, I guess, interview on the phone to see how real and who this person is and what their situation is. So then we got into our car and we drove about an hour or so to Queens. And we went in to visit to them at the house. And when we get to this house, first of all, the air was so thick in this house.
Yeah, but, you know, you walked in, and being a sensitive or, you know, I'm a psychic medium, but you don't have to be a psychic medium to know it. As long as you're sensitive to energy, you would know it. We walked into that house, and it was immediately known to both of us that there was something evil there. Now, it's important to note that this person thought it was demonic. Now, I've done many, many, many exorcisms. I've been all over doing them. The thing is, I've only encountered what I would consider demonic three times, three spirits ever. In all the exorcisms I've done, I would consider to be demonic. What he had there, I don't deem demonic. I just feel that it's a very bad, evil, angry, vicious entity that's there, but not demonic. So that was the first thing I picked up as soon as we walked in. And then, Steph, go ahead.
Well, you know, I always go, and I'm the skeptic. You know, I do believe in all this, but I am skeptical. And, you know, when I go to a house, you know, we're put in this situation where, you know, we're unfamiliar surroundings, people we don't know, and we just have to really, I evaluate it for exactly what it is, how I feel as I walk through the door.
Right, and somebody like this gentleman who is obviously distraught, you know, it's obvious that his life is in shambles, you don't know what these people are capable of, so you really have to be on your guard when you go into a situation like that.
But this home, you know, it was a nice home, and
it was very nice.
You know, and you have to judge things about to an extent of the immediate surrounding you're in. So I look around and I say, okay, you know, they seem relatively okay, you know, I guess.
Well, they seem fine.
But you walk in and there was a heaviness in the house, and I immediately knew something was wrong, really wrong. And we've gone to other people's houses and they've had problems. I actually don't think it's ever been as bad as this past one we went to.
It was bad.
Now, we sit down, and we actually have this little consultation, and, you know, they tell us. It was the son and the father looked a wreck himself.
Right.
He had his own problems.
And it's important to note that during this consultation, during this little mini interview that I give these people, if I think that they're full of baloney, I'll tell them, you know what, I don't believe you.
You're wasting my time.
You're wasting my time, and I'll leave. I don't, I have no time for that. There's other people that need help, and, you know, if that person isn't the person, then I'm out of there. But this guy had me as soon as we started talking. I knew that we needed to help him. He was so forthright, and he held absolutely nothing back, to the point when his father said something, he looked at his father and said, "Dad, tell them the truth. We need help."
Let's mention something we always ask people. He did drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I actually believe he does more than he even let on, even though he was honest in saying it. He was certainly on stuff. You know, I don't know if that night, but he's definitely doing drugs, which doesn't help his situation any.
No, it makes it worse.
It makes negative easier to attach to you. But I started taking photos around the house while we were there, walking around, just taking random photos. And I took a photo of this kid, and I don't know how old he is, and I say kid because I don't know, maybe 28, I'm not
maybe
sure.
28 or so.
And he looked so evil. He actually looked like the devil himself.
Well, the way I put it was, he looked dead behind the eyes, and he was like a living zombie. I've never been in the presence of anybody who looked so dead while he was actually alive.
I mean,
it actually took me back.
He had black around his eyes. He was frail. You know, he had his bare facial hair. I mean, he looked pure evil to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I took all these photos. I actually did get one huge, and we definitely should put it on the website, red orb in that house. And when I say huge, you know, orbs, you see them and they're a little nothing. This actually took up at least a quarter of the screen on the camera. And then we did some EVPs.
Yeah, we got some EVPs where the spirit told us his name, and I was coming up with the name Mark, and we later through the seance found out that it's Marco. So I mean, I was very close, and basically he said that this guy is his toy, and he is his toy to play with and manipulate any way he likes, and
there's also multiple.
And there's multiple spirits there. And the thing was that, you know, I was picking up right away that this kid is suicidal, and he admitted to the fact that he has committed suicide, tried to commit suicide, and he is still suicidal, which was very, very evident. And also, you know, when you're talking to somebody like that, you really have to talk to them. You have to be strong, but you also have to talk to them with kid gloves, basically, and have to be very understanding and very genuine and let them know that you're actually listening to what they're saying. You have to really focus on what they're saying.
You know, I always pay attention to people and their mannerisms when having a conversation. And I always look for eye contact and, you know, just, I guess, their mannerisms. And this guy did not look up. He looked at the floor the whole time he was talking to us. He couldn't even look us in the eye. And it's just such an awkward feeling. You know, you're like, you're there, you want to help the person. Then he started following me around the house, like my shadow. And he kept saying, I know you guys are going to help me. I know you guys are going to help me. Today is some, it was like before the full moon, and it's a day of renewal. And then he had all this information, and he was saying all this stuff.
He was very intelligent.
He was intelligent. And he kept saying, I know there was a reason you're here, and I know you're going to help. And, you know, and I actually started to feel really sorry for him. I did. I felt sorry.
Well, I can't help but feel sorry for him. But I think the most eye-opening thing that happened that night happened. We were doing some EVPs, and we were getting some great EVPs. And Stephanie, she almost jumped out of her skin. Now, listen, a lot of your listeners, Therese, are our listeners, and
right.
Everybody's come to know Stephanie, you know, pretty well. And anybody who knows her knows that she's very sturdy. She's very grounded. She doesn't get spooked easily at all. Well, I'm sitting, you know, 2 inches from her. She jumped to where her butt cheeks came off the chair. And she shook, and I don't want to say she screamed. She didn't scream, but she... Something came out of your mouth. There was a prominent fear coming from you. And it actually shocked the hell out of me, because I've only seen her get scared 2 times ever. And this just took me back, seeing her
At Chris's face, I said, holy, I couldn't even believe what just happened. But I went to get up out of the chair. That's what happened. And something, like, attacked me, and my heart skipped a beat. And I had never felt that before, ever. It was like a mini of some sort. And as soon as that happened, I just flinched, and then so did the guy. Then so did the guy this has happened to, and he said, my heart just skipped a beat. Did yours? And he said, I felt it go from me to you. And that's the first time I had got eye contact with that guy.
You know what? You want to know what's really interesting, Therese, is that it went from him to her. He didn't even flinch. And that's scary to me, because that tells me that he's used to it. And, you know, that's a bad place to be.
And then I quickly got up and said, excuse me, everyone. And I went out of the house. I got some air. I got my composure back. I was still stunned by what just happened. But at the same time, if we're going to help you, I can't be freaking out either. So I just came back in with my composure and just sat down and said that, you know, and talked about with him what just happened. And he actually said to me, oh, that's nothing. That happens to me all the time. Now, the other thing that was quite odd that night was, while we were sitting there, out of the corner of my eye, saw a black little shadow. It was like creeping on the floor. And then I said, did you just see that? And he said, what, the shadow guy? And I said, yeah. Like, he actually knew what I was talking about before I even said it. And, you know, so this is the extent. Now, you know, people who don't do this or choose not to believe this, well, you know what, you'll never convince them. I don't even care to. But I can only go by what I witness. And, you know, I'm the least person to make up or even elaborate on something that's not true. And I think that was why you looked at me, Chris, like when I flinched like that, you looked at me like, are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've only seen you jump two times in all the years I know you, and that was, like I said, that was eye-opening for me because I said, wow, this is actually going to be, you know, this is going to be a battle. I knew at that moment it was going to be tough.
So the other thing that happened, so all these things happen now, and I do get some fantastic photos. I got an apparition in the window that even he just said, oh, yeah, you know, I always feel something looking at me over there. I mean, there was, we could have done. He also was interesting because he did all his research. He knew of what the attachment could be, how it was affecting him. He knew all of this information. We didn't really tell him anything he didn't know.
Right.
The only thing we're going to do is actually help him. But, you know, so he's very knowledgeable. He did all his research, and that's more than most people do because usually you're giving them advice. But the other thing that was odd that happened was when I went down the basement, you know, Chris just sends me, yeah, go down the basement, Steph, after I've been attacked. And I go down the basement with the devil himself, and Chris goes upstairs. And when did you talk about what happens upstairs with the father?
Well, the father, who is very, I would consider him like a man's man, not, you know, a rugged kind of guy, you know, a biker type of guy. And he actually cried to me and said, please help my son, save his life. I think he's going to die. And, you know, he seems to think that you're the people that are going to help him. And you know what? I'm getting a great feeling from you guys. And please save his life because I can't, you know, live knowing that he's being attacked like this for so long. And you know, when you see a man who's, you know, you look at him, you know he's a strong guy. You know he's been around the block quite a few times. And he openly cries to another man. You know, that it opens your eyes. And I knew that, you know, there was really nothing that I wouldn't do to help these people. And I told him, I said, you know what? I want nothing from you. I want to come here. I want to help you. And
you know what? They didn't have anything. You know, they're in a bad way. Because of this possession, I believe that who can't hold down a job, they're trying to sell the house. I mean, they're in dire straits as far as.
And another thing that we should mention is that the father hadn't slept in his bed for, I think he said, 4 months, because he too is being attacked by this spirit. The father actually sleeps on the living room couch. So, I mean, how bad is that? So we'll see what happens. We're going there this Saturday, and
well, the 19th. We'll be there the 19th, and we're going to have a couple people with us, and we'll actually video, and as usual, I'll take photos and EVPs and all of that stuff, and we'll try to document this the best we can. And I believe Mark in the chat room will be one of the people attending with us.
I think it's important to mention Mark because Mark, we call him Mark. His real name is Alex Rivas. I met Alex or Mark maybe 2.5 years ago because he needed an exorcism. And he saw me on TV, and I went to his house, and I actually did an exorcism for him. And we became best friends. I consider him my best friend. I don't have a lot of people that I consider friends. He's my best friend. And he is now my lead investigator. He is now my main guy when I go to do exorcisms. Why? Because he knows me. He's been around the block with me. He knows my mannerisms. He knows my little tendencies that I have when I'm channeling negative spirits. And you know what? And I feel it's important to give him a shout out because he deserves it. He's great at what he does, and I'm lucky to have him on my team.
And just to get back to the exorcism, I do believe he's the worst one that I'll have witnessed. because I think if it's affecting me already, I think that, you know, so this will be definitely interesting. And we've done several recently, and they had no impact compared to me walking through that house. It was pure evil.
Well, you know, I hope my comment here isn't out of order, but I would suggest, too, to our listening audience to be thinking of the paranormal investigative team there of Chris, Steph, Mork on Saturday, May 19th, and keeping them in prayer. Also, I know, Chris and Stephanie, you will do your utmost to help this individual find assistance and resolution from what sounds like a truly difficult paranormal situation. Now, I don't want you to give out any information that would help the demons here. It sounds to me as though this could very well, this is a demonic possession rather than just a mere negative entity or past person oppression. With this type of exorcism where the party is to be delivered from the possession, Chris, could you just generally note that you people will be taking particular precautions and protocols? Here, I don't want you to specify them in great detail because I don't want the demons to know about it.
Patrice, they know already. You know, when there are very definite things that I do before every exorcism. I meditate. I do a very big protection for myself and my team and the people that are involved in the exorcism. There's a lot that goes into it. We do a lot of saging, a lot of I use orange peel more so than sage because I've said this on our show many times. When people use sage to cleanse on a certain level, orange peel, for whatever reason, cleanses on that level and the next level. So, you know, I orange peel the whole home and myself, and it's very important to do all the protective stuff that needs to be done. So the thing that happened, though, is, you know, you mentioned how you don't want to give the spirit or the demon any information that, you know, to help it. But the truth is, they already know. What I've learned over all these years of doing exorcisms is the negative spirit that is being exorcised never, ever believes it can be exorcised. It always believes that it is more stronger than you. And you know what? They could continue to believe that because it's worked against them. This spirit, during the last exorcism, actually came through. Now, I very rarely ever let any negative spirits come through during a seance because I don't want to scare people. My seances are more more fun. I have very good spirits that come through. But I felt like it was important to let this evil spirit be channeled through me because a lot of times they give information without even realizing they're giving information. You know, they're very arrogant, negative spirits. And Steph, maybe you want to talk about that a little bit.
Well, which? At the
seance?
Well, I don't remember exactly what the spirit said.
I don't remember either. I just remember what you guys
well,
told me, how it said that it was going to take my soul.
Oh, that's right.
And do you remember any of that?
I don't remember exactly.
It basically said it was going to take my soul and my arrogance was going to get the best of me and, you know, I didn't have a chance to get rid of this spirit. But you know what? I've heard that before and we'll see what happens.
I think what's important is for you to explain exactly what is going on during it, because people hear the exorcism and obviously it's negative by nature, but why don't you explain what you do exactly?
What I do exactly is, there's a lot of controversy. There's been a lot of controversy on our show, Stephanie, about the term exorcism, because I say I'm an exorcist. Now, people who are purists say the rites of exorcism are the proper way to do an exorcism, through the Catholic Church and through prayer and through, all the chanting and all that stuff. What I've learned over the years by spirit, because I've learned to do what I do from spirit, is that way doesn't work. You know, out of all the exorcisms I've done, I would say, 40% of them, I've come in after priests have come in and done exorcisms. Why? Because they don't work. You can't get rid of an evil spirit by praying.
And I believe these people are going to have a priest, I think, this weekend.
Yeah.
And you said go ahead because, you know, it's not going to make much of a difference. But what I want you to explain is what exactly you do.
You want me to give my secrets?
Well, give them something. I mean, people need a visual. You
all
know?
Right. Well, what I do is I actually go into trance and I invite the spirit into me. And like I said earlier, negative spirit is very arrogant. They don't believe that myself. They don't believe that I could do anything to hurt them, to get rid of them, to break the energy down. And that's exactly what I want. And their arrogance plays to my advantage because they'll never ever turn down the chance of allowing me to channel them to basically challenge me to test what I have, my
like a battle,
my fortitude. And so, and as the exorcism goes on and they get weaker and weaker and weaker, and I know I'm gaining the advantage, they still think that they can win. And you know, I learned this very early in my exorcism career that, you know, they never give up. They never believe, no matter how weak they become, they never believe that you can get rid of them. And what I do is I break down the energy with my own energy. I call in my angels. I call in my guides. I call in the carry-on angels, which are the they're like the gang of angels that travel around with Archangel Michael. They're like the defenders of the dark side, if you want to call that. They mm-hmm. get rid of the negative spirits and take them away. I call on all these angels and all these beautiful entities and beings that come and help me, and I break down the energy to the point where there's nothing left, and then I just release it. And I'm not going to say how many I've done because that got me in trouble last time, but I've done quite a few, and you know what? We haven't been beat yet.
And it's worth mentioning that we could say whatever we want, and Chris could say whatever he wants. The proof is in the client that, you know, comes back to you a week, a month, whatever, later, and says, wow, my house is back to normal again. And ironically, the couple that was at the seance about 6 weeks before had a problem in their house, and he did an exorcism there, and their son was seeing a man, and the man was terrorizing the son and the husband and wife. And the reason I bring them up is because, you know what, it's 6 weeks whatever later, and back to normal, and they're forever grateful. And then they're sitting at my house last weekend thanking us profusely, you know. So people could say, you know, oh, this isn't true, it doesn't work, and whatever. But you know what? Unless you're the person having the problem, and then you're the person not having the problem, you know, that's the proof is in the pudding. That's it, you know. So anytime someone says, oh, Chris is full of it with his exorcism and whatever, I just direct them, you know what, talk to this lot of people, you know. I mean, they'll tell you what difference is in their life now.
Yeah, you know, the thing I think I love the most about what I do, I love giving readings, I love doing healing, I love teaching, I love giving lectures, I love doing all that stuff. But I think the exorcisms are that's what I love the most. Why? Because these are people that are at their wit's end. They have nowhere else to turn, and they're looking for help, and I'm the one that's helping change their life. And you know, the feeling I got the first time I did it, not knowing if I could do it, spirit telling me, Chris, you can do this, let's tell you, do what we say, you know, being scared out of my mind going into it, to what I am today. I knew at that moment after I exercised my first negative spirit that this is going to be part of my life forever. And it is what gives me the most satisfaction out of anything I do.
Well, it sounds to me as though you're helping bring, you're actually enabling the return of these people's lives to them. Because life is to be enjoyed, to be treasured, and it sounds as though these entities are attempting to just not only take over the person, but also their very existence. And I think what you're doing is so commendable.
Oh, thank you.
Also, Chris and Stephanie, you do keep in contact with these people, and do give them additional advice as to how to remain attachment-free.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a closeness that is formed when, you know, these are unusual circumstances. Let's call it what it is. I mean, if you would have told me this 5 years ago, I would have said, get the hell out of here, you know. But, you know, these are strange circumstances, and these people don't know who to turn to. They don't know who to tell these stories of what's happened, so they wind up not telling their family or friends, and if they do tell their family or friends, they think they're crazy. So there's a bond that forms after you've, you know, seen people at their worst. I mean, you know, these people that we were there last weekend, they were in tears, you know, about their situation. So that closeness, you know, and then when their life gets back on track, of course, it's with friends forever. I mean, really. So, you know, and like Chris even mentioned with Mork, that's how we met him, you know. And that.
Yeah, well, that, like you said, that's how we met. You know, Mork was being attacked by spirit. He saw me on a television show. I was talking about doing exorcisms. It was actually my own television show, I believe. And he had actually gotten attacked where he had scratch marks down his arm. And he said, you know what, let me give this guy a call. And I remember walking into his house the first time. He was like, oh, my God, Chris is really here. And I was like, well, yeah, so? I didn't realize, you know, the effect I had on him at the time. I know now because we're such close friends. But after going in there, and I remember the first thing I got was the name of the spirit that was attacking him. And we got the EVP that said the name, a Class A EVP saying the name that I was getting. And, you know, as soon as Mork and his wife heard that, they were like, okay, you got to get rid of the spirit. I mean, it was immediate. And we did, and we've been like friends since.
We've actually kept in touch with everyone we've done the exorcism.
Without a doubt.
I mean, they become all friends on Facebook. They call, you know, they ask for advice here and there, you know. So, yes, the answer is.
Well, that sounds extremely professional, helpful to those individuals. And also, we have a comment coming in from one of our great researchers here, Sandman, to the fact that, Chris, do you enjoy your gifts? And I think what it is, and I think this is what Sandman is referencing too, it must be a wonderful feeling to for you, Chris, and also Stephanie as part of the team, to know, and to you as well, Mark, that you're helping people. It's vital to just allow individuals to be able to enjoy life and to be released from these negative attachments.
Yeah, you know, when I've always had this gift. I just turned it off for many, many years until 2000 when I had no choice because spirit started flooding me and, you know, coming all around me. They wouldn't let me not be psychic. You know, they pretty much made the choice for me. And it was, I didn't like it at the time. It scared the hell out of me. You know, having spirit around me all the time, I thought it was a curse. And I find now I couldn't imagine my life without it. I couldn't imagine not doing what I do. I don't care who believes in me at all because I know what I do. I know the people I help. And what I tell the people...
If this is the speed of the iPhone 4S on AT&T, what does 4G speed on T-Mobile look like?
You have that right. But... remember this, and Stephanie's heard me say this many times.
And I'm rolling my eyes right now, everyone.
Yeah, because it's the truth, and I say it to everybody. You don't have to believe, but somewhere down the line, whether it's a week, a month, a year, 10 years.
And that way, the audio file and the audio...
Give me a call. I don't care. I will never hold the back
point,
leave again. Nowhere else to turn.
Ever.
But give me a call. When you do come to me,
together, Kirk and I have 6 children.
Never in the house.
I'm a wife, and I'm a mother of 5.
They're my biggest supporters. They are the biggest voice in what I do. The people who didn't believe, who somehow, some way, I turned into believers, they're the biggest supporters of what I do. And, you know, about loving your gift, there was a guy on Facebook today. I'm not going to mention his name. He actually put out there today, oh, I hate my gift. It's a curse. And this is the same person who talks about, oh, I'm so psychic. If you're so psychic, why would you say that your gift is a curse? It makes no sense to me. I want to I want to jump in the screen.
He's an attention seeker. We get it. We know.
Yeah, but, I mean,
we need to take a break, Denise.
And I have to say, those are the words definitely of a brave and generous heart. And now, Steph, I can't wait to play that the promo for the upcoming expo. In Moravia, New York, June 16th and 17th, Paranormal Expo 12. Les, I can't wait to hear the details. That will be after our possibly 8 to 9 minute break, and we'll be right back, everyone. Boy, I'm really enjoying this conversation. Global Focus with guests psychic medium Chris George and Stephanie Benetti. NYC. Websites www.secondsightnyc.com and www.secondsightnycradio.webs.com. Second Sight, we have second one is Second Sight, nycradio.webs.com, correct?
Correct.
Excellent, excellent, because they're both wonderful websites to visit, an outstanding show and research. And I also want to mention very quickly at this point, other shows in the network include, of course, UFO Undercover with host Joe Montaldo from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Wednesdays, Through the Keyhole with Karen Dolan from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Fridays, the Church of Mavis radio show with Jeff Pritchett, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Saturday evenings, and on Monday evenings, our new show, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, Mind Cemetery with wife team Chip and Nicole. Now, oh boy, I'm resuming my discussion with my favorite guests here. Now, Chris and Stephanie, you're getting ready to speak and broadcast from the Paranormal Expo 2012 conference in Moravia, New York, June 16th and 17th. Joe, do we have that clip here? That we'll be playing momentarily.
Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie Benetti.
And I'm psychic medium Christopher George.
Together, we're Second Sight NYC Radio Show.
We are happy to announce that we are airing the second annual New York City Paranormal Expo based at Moravia, New York, Saturday, June 16th.
And we'll be covering this event live on Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on UFO Paranormal Radio. This is stacking up to be a can't-miss event with great guests from all over the country.
There will be psychics giving readings,
guest speakers, vendors, entertainment.
Of course, there will also be three paranormal investigations with some of the most prominent names in the paranormal community.
We will be interviewing all the guests and getting the first-hand accounts of the expo.
Second Sight NYC Radio Show is known as the show that even the spirits listen to.
We're the first and last stop for Paranormal Talk Radio.
Join us, everyone, June 16th on UFO Paranormal Radio.
Boy, that sounds like one exciting event. And, boy, I'll have to get my SO, Jay-Z, to come in, to attend that as well. I don't want to miss that, and I don't want to visiting with you people this June and also July. Heck, we'll make it a longer stay there in the Northeast. It certainly sounds worth it. Now, New York Expo, we're going to be broadcasting live. You're going to be speaking. Are tickets still available? I'm sure they are, but you know, could you give any further tips there on people who want to attend?
Okay, well, this is the second annual Paranormal Expo. The first one last year was held in, where was that?
Auburn.
And this is in Moravia. And this one is quite different because this is actually a fundraising event for a little girl who needs a double lung transplant. So there isn't a fee to come to the expo, but they're hoping people will give donations.
There'll be donation buckets all over, and you know, we feel that that would probably be a better way to collect money to help, you know, for this fantastic cause.
Excellent. And boy, it sounds like an event not to be missed. I just think it's very exciting, and it's also for a wonderful cause as well. Now,
yes,
you know,
if you like, The little girl's name, her name is Bria Wyla, and mm-hmm. I believe she lives in New York. And
she lives in Virginia.
Oh, she lives in Virginia. Yeah. The person organizing this event, her name is Lorna Reynolds, and she's nice enough to put all these people together, which, you know, is not always an easy task because this goes involved in this kind of event.
There are so many egos, it's ridiculous.
You know, and just to mention, you know, I'll just say it. The people that I know that are attending, there's the ghost detectives that are going to be there. There's obviously Chris and I will be broadcasting it live for several hours, and we really don't know how many hours we will. We'll just cover the whole event.
We're doing more than just broadcasting. We're going to be leading one of the three secret investigations. We don't even know the locations. We're leading one of the investigations, and I'm actually going to do gallery readings on stage. So you guys can come out and watch me either be really good or fall on my face.
You know, and then she also has Joyce Hackett, which she wrote about all the history of Moravia. There's Pat Olson, and I believe she's a psychic medium as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Ghost Hunters. There's Gary Manley's going to be there from Nightfall Paranormal. They have Taps Para Magazine. There's James Anito, and he's a demonologist. We're going to actually interview him next week on our show. We have Francine Bazzari, and she's a psychic medium. The Scream Normal, which is a paranormal team. Deborah Perkins, she also airs, you know, has a paranormal radio show. Pete Kanellis. We have Jeff Mudgett, who is the author of Bloodstains. We've had him on our show several times.
Yeah, we'll actually talk about him a little later also.
Yeah, there's a few other psychics, Laura Cartwright.
There's only one psychic that matters.
I know, but, you know, I'm going to be fair because that's what I do.
Okay.
Chris Condon, and I believe Robbie Thomas, and he's a psychic profiler, which is quite interesting. And then we have this interesting group, the Paranormal Expedition, and it's kind of odd about this, Steve, if you want to mention it.
Yeah, well who wanted me to rant? Who was it, Sandman? Well, here, you wanted a rant? I'm going to give you a rant. You know, we've been talking about on our show how these, you know, paranormal bimbolinas come out with their big boobs and their short-cut shirts, you know, making believe that they're paranormal investigators. You know, they claim they're the sexiest this and the sexiest that. You know what? I don't give a damn how sexy they are. It's irrelevant to me. You know, paranormal investigating is about finding answers. It's about getting down and dirty and doing, you know, what we love to do, not about, you know, hot girls and investigating. How the hell are you going to investigate in friggin' high heels and a bikini? Give me a break.
This is not the Church of Second Sight.
It's not the Church of Second Sight, but I'm going to go. I want on the show. I'm going to say it. You know, we have a lot of listeners, and we rant and we talk about these paranormal bimbolinas all the time on the show. How they're ridiculous. This, that, and the other thing. And we're going to interview them on our show, live at that expo. And if you think that I'm going to take a back seat to these bimbolinas, it's not going to happen because I'm not selling out at all. And I'm going to ask them the tough questions, and either they're going to answer it or they're going to get the hell off my show.
Well, I'll treat them like I treat all guests, but, you know, Chris. And I guess that's the Church of Second Sight. Global focus style.
That's it.
I think that's super. And, you know, I'll tell you, they will be coming up against the best researchers, parapsychic experts in the field. Heck, I was even going over your EVP library there at your website. And real quick question. On that EVP that says, I was murdered, that from the latest, was that from one of the earlier Kreischer Mansion investigations? Boy, it sounded like some poor soul. It might have been, you know...
No, that was, I'll tell you exactly where that was. You know, a couple of years back, the Ghost Hunters, the TV show The Ghost Hunters, they went to the oldest cemetery in Staten Island, which is, well, what's it called again, Steph?
St. Andrews,
that's it. And they got no evidence. They did a whole show on this cemetery.
And mind you, you know, some of the tombstones there, it's like 1700s that they're actually coming out of trees because trees have grown around. I mean, it's an old, old historic place to visit. I mean, it's a cemetery, but it's pretty well known in Staten Island.
Right. And when we were there, and they didn't get any evidence. So Stephanie one night says, Chris, why don't we go? We'll get Mark. We'll get his wife, Beatrice. We'll go to the cemetery and just do our own little investigations, like midnight with creeping around a cemetery, you know, very eerie, doing what we do. And I said, there's a spirit here, and he's saying he was murdered. And then we did an EVP, and we got him actually saying, and it's almost human-like, with like a gravel in the voice, I would say. And he says, I was murdered.
Yeah.
And it was friggin' awesome. I remember everybody.
It was very scary,
everybody
actually.
Everybody just went, oh, my. It was awesome.
Because you're in the cemetery, and you don't know who, where, you know. It was very strange to me to get that in the cemetery.
And it's very discernible. The words are very discernible and very shocking. And that's you received some excellent photos from that Andrews Cemetery investigation. I don't want to repeat myself from the prior interview, but seeing that image of the hand pointing up to the banner at the entrance of the cemetery was really shocking.
Yeah. You know, Stephanie has gotten such great, great pictures, and more can be also just... great pictures. There's one picture in that cemetery where, Steph, I know it's one of your favorites. Why don't you talk about it? I mean, it's your photo.
But the orb that's like that's 5 feet away
from
it.
And it's like you're walking into it.
Yeah, it's just, and you really see the distinct pattern, and it looks like it's suspended in midair. And it's not like any other orb I've ever seen, because they're usually, they have softer edges, and they have colors, or they're blended, and they're far away, or they're real solid far away. This one is actually like a medallion that's sitting about 5 feet away and just suspended in midair. And it's like I'm almost walking into it or I'm going to... And what's good about that photo, I believe, there's a hand on the tombstone.
Yeah,
that's your hand.
That was my hand, I think.
Yeah.
You know, the thing with orbs is a lot of them are they're nothing. They're dust, they're water. But there are orbs that are very prominent and they are something. So... this one was very prominent, and like she said, it was like a medallion. It was really awesome.
And anyone who wants to see that, it's, you know, if you go to secondsightnyc.com, go to the photos tab, look for St. Andrew's Cemetery, and I believe, you know, I've been doing this less is more thing. You know, I don't put up 4,200 photos of an investigation where none of them, you know, or a lot of them don't have anything. I really put up ones that I think that hit the mark and really, you know, are significant. So it's not a lot of fluff to go through them and actually see those orbs.
And the images are remarkable. And again, I think my favorite is the one with the skeletal hand pointing up to the banner. But the orbs, the intensity of light, it's remarkable. It's a remarkable set of photographs. And actually, several of the investigations there really can boast some very unusual photographic evidence. And excellent sight.
You want to know what my favorite photo is? And we were in Bailey Seton Psychiatric Hospital, and there was a spirit there that wanted to be passed to the light. So I'm actually channeling this spirit, passing this spirit to the light, looking up to my left corner, and as spirit is ascending into the light, Stephanie took a picture, and you actually see a yellow, I don't know if it's an orb, it's more of an oblong.
It's a moving orb.
It's a moving orb. and it's yellow, and it's going in the direction that I'm looking. I don't know where it is on the website. I mean, I'm not looking at the website right now. Maybe Stephanie will pull it up. But if you guys could check out that picture, I'm telling you, it is. I mean, I can't even tell you how great that is. And you know what that does? It validates what we do. You know, people say, oh, you pass the spirit to the light. Yeah, okay, whatever. You know what? Look at that picture. I was passing spirit to the light at that moment, and we actually got it. And it's just, you know what? It made me feel good to know that you know, what I do, what I love to do, was actually captured on film, and Stephanie captured it.
And I just found it just now. You know, and I also believe that, you know, helping the beyond, you know, so it's nice. It makes you feel good when it's said and done, and people do. Anyone who experiences that, they actually will say to you, wow, it was powerful. I just posted the photo we're talking about in the chat room if anyone would like to take a look at it. But, you know, I just wanted to say something. I meant to say this earlier on when we just started the second hour, but when we actually have one of the people that we did the exorcisms for listening to the show tonight, because she clicked on the
right
link. And so, you know, just to prove, Therese, you know, people, they're always with us, Asta.
And they actually become our friends. I consider Rosemary a friend now. You know, she'll write on my wall every so often just to see what's going on and let me know what's going on with her. And you know what? They were actually nice enough to make a copy of the exorcism that we did at her house. And she actually gave me the copy last week at the seance, which I thought was very nice of her.
That's one. Just it proves that you really have a network of friends now, clients who actually are friends, and you're really helping these people take back their lives, because that type of attack from negative entities can really destroy a life. And thank God that you people are so helping them. And the people with whom you deal, your clients, your associates, really sound like an admirable group of people. You're doing a great deal of good. And, you know, your group seems to have a special dynamic. You're a very professional team. You're interested in being extremely professional and conducting yourselves in a very thoughtful, scientific manner to also buttress the research and investigations with evidentiary reports as well, or evidentiary findings, but of course keeping the privacy and the privileged nature of your client cases, always retaining the client's privacy. But you know, on your dynamics, on your professional protocols, on the state-of-the-art equipment you use, you were mentioning a very high-end, a state-of-the-art EVP machine earlier. Could you people just go into that? I'm very impressed.
Well, you know, we that everybody uses, but what we have different than just about any other team is a specific recorder. It's the RRDR60, and the thing with this recorder is it came out about 20 years ago when digital recorders first came out, and it's made by Panasonic.
I think it was actually even longer than that. It's probably like 25 years ago.
Okay.
No,
it's fine. If you know the right answer, that's fine. I know it's at least 20 years ago, and what happened was, well, those years ago, people were buying them and, you know, leaving them on and whatever, and then when they listened back, they were hearing voices that weren't there, and they thought it was some type of defect, and, you know, what happened was they had so many complaints that they discontinued it. They stopped making it. So now here we are 25 years later, and it is by far, by a large margin, the number one EVP recorder in the world. I consider it to be the Rolls Royce of EVP recorders, because we can have 20 people in a room doing EVPs, and these recorders are the ones that get all the evidence. Now, what you need to know about this is, all those years ago, it was like $20 to buy it. If you go on eBay right now and check it out, there's one on there for $1,700. Why? Because it is the best, and paranormal investigators just go crazy for it. They look all over the world to try and find it, and they're very hard to get. And we have two of them. You know, the girl who brought me into the paranormal part of my life, you know, I was always doing the psychic stuff, but this woman, Debbie Caruso, who was one of the leaders of EVP research in the whole United States. When she passed away, she actually willed one of hers to me. So I actually have two of them. And
I just popped a picture of it in the chat room, Teresa, if you'd like to look at it. And
appreciate
you're
it.
Right. It's $1,699 on eBay.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Well, you know, in the gathering of important scientific evidence to these cases, investigations, it makes a great deal of sense to me. And I have a quick question coming in here from Sam Mann, our researcher. He's wondering if you have done any investigations into regressed static entities on a random basis, or do you only do cases? And am I correct here that most of the hauntings as well that you investigate are actually active hauntings rather than residual historic hauntings?
Well, it's different. You know, what we do, investigating-wise, we do a lot of events. Like we'll go to Eastern State Penitentiary and bring a group, or we'll go to the Chrysler Mansion and bring a huge group, or we'll go to the Bailey Seton Psychiatric Hospital and bring a huge group and teach them how to investigate. So that's mostly what we do. The exorcism part, they're known hauntings. You know, these are places that have, you know, negative spirits in it, and so it's a little bit different. We don't do a lot of residential investigations. We're more of an event.
By the time people contact us, they're usually desperate.
Right.
You know, that's really because
past investigation.
Yeah, exactly. They fully know. We don't have to go there and convince them of anything. What they're trying to do is convince us that they actually have the problem. So, you know, we don't go around looking for this. It actually comes to us, and it's usually when someone's in that state of they don't know where to go, and they've tried everything, and they did their religious, you know.
That's really interesting because a lot of the paranormal teams, they advertise themselves, and then they go into people's houses and they do investigations for them, and that's really cool. And I would do a lot more of that if we had the time. But you know, our group is more focused on, like Stephanie said, these people already know the house is haunted. These people already know that there's something bad there. They just want confirmation and they want it gone.
And it's worth noting that sometimes it's the place, and then sometimes it's an individual.
Absolutely.
And like next week's case, it's an individual. So, you know, it's a little different, but it's not like we just go around and say, oh, let's find out if something's going on in your house, you know. I mean, there are spirits everywhere. I mean, we do, you know, we sit in my own house, and we pick up the recorders, and we do EVPs, and we get fantastic EVPs here, but it's nothing bad here. They're just living here, and I actually picked up the recorder 2 weeks ago, and I said, talk to me, and it said, Stephanie. And then I just ran out of the room. It's my house, you know.
Hey, you know what? I wasn't here at the time.
It's a lot different when it's your own house. You know, I can go be the bravest thing anywhere else, but, like, in my own house, I was like, oh, no, something's talking to me. But it said Stephanie, and then just because of my nature, I said, all right, let me see. Could you say my name again? And it said my name again. So, you know, we don't need proof of anything, but, you know, we just pick up the recorder sometimes and just do EVPs. But really, these people, they already have the problem. They know, and they want it gone. So, you know, that's a different in its entirety.
Yeah, I hope that answered his question.
Yes, you're really addressing real-time events there of great immediacy to the clients who contact you, to the individuals who contact you. And, you know, lest I miss this opportunity, Chris and Steph, you've interviewed on several radio shows Jeff Mudgett. Jeff is a successful legal and corporate professional and author of Bloodstains. New developments there, and boy, it sounds fascinating. Here I'm reading from the PR release, Business Wire, Los Angeles. It's up on the website there for Business Wire. Quote, Jeff Mudgett currently on tour promoting his harrowing, terrifying memoir, Bloodstains, detailing his discovery that his great-great-grandfather was the notorious serial killer H.H. Holmes, available for download on Amazon eBooks, has just uncovered through research and handwriting analysis the fact that his relation is Jack the Ripper, ending the 120-year-old mystery and proving that the killer was an American surgeon from Chicago, end quote. Boy, they're important forensic developments here. You people have found this individual, Mr. Mudgett, a very credible guest?
He calls me his best friend these days. He has become quite a friend of ours after the interview. I mean, we really can't say enough nice things. He's genuinely a nice man.
Yeah, he's going to be at the expo giving a lecture, the same expo that we're going to be at. And, I'm not big on to go on other people's shows and plugging other people, but I will say this. I read a lot of books. For the show, I read a lot of books. Jeff Mudgett's book, Bloodstains, was by a large margin, in my opinion, the best book I ever read. It hit me at the edge of my seat. There were parts in that book that just had me spellbound. He is a phenomenal author. That book is unbelievable, and I can't say enough good things about it. Absolutely top of the line.
I definitely am going to. I definitely plan to read that book. I may have to leave the light on afterwards for a night or two. But he sounds like it sounds like a wonderful read, and he sounds to have really a very impressive career as well, similar to you people. Now, here's a real quick question on that. Steph and Chris, unlike you, his family would have this horrific historic memory. Do you think that impacts on his family now or no?
You know what? I think it impacts him more than the rest of his family. From what we've spoken about with him, is his family really didn't want him to write the book, and he just felt like he had to. I think it affected him more than anybody else, by a large margin, too.
He also is doing something that he's invited us to as well. There's a post office now. They call it the Murder Castle, and that's where...
The thing is, back in the day in Chicago, there was a huge hotel, and I don't remember the name of it, but it was a huge, very prominent hotel, and H.H. Holmes, Jack the Ripper, rented out the whole basement, okay? That's where he did hundreds of murders that people didn't even, that people don't even know about. He did hundreds of murders in this basement. Hotel was named the Murder Castle. It is now a post office. Jeff Mudgett has the rights to go into that basement with a team. And by the way, Second Sight will be that team.
And you mentioned, he is, I believe, a lawyer, and he's doing everything, getting all the permits, and he's doing everything. He's even having a statue erected there for the people that were killed. And, he's doing some things with the post office, and he plans on he has several television networks interested in prime time.
We're talking about Channel 2, Channel 4, Channel 7.
ABC and all of those.
Yes, he asked Second Sight NYC to be the show that actually broadcasts it live. And we're going to do that. And Stephanie's going to be handling that mostly because I'm going to be the psychic medium that goes down in the basement with him to try and actually channel Jack the Ripper. Is it going to happen? I don't know, but I sure do know I'm going to try my hardest, and I'm looking forward to that. That would be that would put my name on the map, I would say, and it would put Second Sight on the map as somebody who did something really, really great, and I'm looking forward to that. People ask me, "Aren't you afraid? Aren't you scared to channel Jack the Ripper?" And I'm like, really? I mean, do you know what I do for a living?
It's going to be the people around you who are going to be scared,
right.
Not you.
I live for these moments. I'm dying to channel Jack the Ripper. I was supposed to go to, years ago on the Maury Povich Show, I was supposed to go to the Lizzie Borden's house and attempt to channel her parents, but mostly her parents. I was going to sleep in the bed that they were murdered in, but that never happened. People were like, how could you do that? How could you do that? I live for that, So to channel Jack the Ripper, I don't know that I'm going to do it. I'm going to try my damnedest. But to have the opportunity to be in the space that he did all those horrific murders, all the spirits that are going to be there, it's an opportunity I absolutely would never, ever let get by. Absolutely not. I can't wait for it. It's going to be a dream of mine to do this.
Boy, it sounds like a major historic and social event there, as well as a great opportunity for parapsychic analysis of that individual and his times. And, boy, that's definitely something not to be missed. I definitely will be in that audience. I wouldn't miss it for the world. Now, you know, Chris and Steph, your show is such a unique one. Could you just briefly tell us any interesting vignettes about how it originated, and also it's evolved a great deal from the beginning, and also you have a full spectrum of guests.
Okay. Well, one night, Chris just says to me, let's do a radio show. And then I looked at him like I do quite often and go, are you kidding me? And he said, no, really. And I said, how are we going to do this? And I'm like, I don't have experience doing this. And he said, no, we'll do it. We'll do it fine. It'll be good. Let's try it, so on and so forth. And so, you know, we went to Blog Talk, and we created an account just like that, just like anybody else does. And we did our first show. And I asked friends of ours to listen and critique us, because I'm like that. And, you know, we took people's advice, and we just improved on the show from there. And I believe we were on Blog Talk for probably a year mm-hmm. before we came to this network. So it was about a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then one day I get this strange guy who writes on Second Sight's wall saying, can I play your archives? And his name was Joe Montaldo, and was more than happy to say, yes, please, you know, go ahead. And we started playing on this network, and just to see how things would go. And the show really picked up momentum. And then, you know, it was an hour show originally, and at that time we thought the hour was too much. And then we realized that the listeners actually wanted more time.
Mm-hmm.
So then we just went over to 2 hours, which was about a year ago, and we've been airing now on this network for the past year on Thursday nights for 2 hours.
Yeah, it was a great the decision to go to 2 hours was it was big, you know. I love doing 2 hours, and I would love to do 3 hours. And just to comment on something in the chat room, if you don't mind, somebody said, isn't Chris's cousin a bit famous? Yes, he is a bit famous. So I didn't mean to get off topic there.
Well, you know, I wanted to again remind the room of your websites. It's an excellent show, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. And then we'll get right back to you, Steph. And again, on the websites, because I might have added an extra period there on the second segment introduction, Second Sight NYC websites, www.secondsightnyc.com and www.secondsightnycradio.webs.com. Back to you, Stephanie. Pardon me.
And you asked about our guests, and, you know, what we've listened to a lot of radio shows, and I'm the type of person, you know, whenever I'm going to do something, I always do my homework and due diligence for that matter, and, you know, we always pay attention to a lot of the shows, and so as we were getting going, and still to this day, we would just pop on random shows and listen to people's shows, and kind of like what Karen Dolan said earlier in her show. You know, she hadn't done radio, and, you know, she just paid attention to other shows and picked out things that she liked and did, and, you know, and refrained from doing things that, you know, weren't appealing. And that's basically my tactic with it. You know, I listen, and what we noticed is most of the paranormal shows, and not on this network, but a lot of these, you know, Blog Talk, being because it's free and anyone can create a show, you know, it's really like a lot of, in the paranormal field anyway, a lot of paranormal teams just interview paranormal teams.
And, boring.
And a lot of psychics, you know, and, you know, all of psychics want to go on a show, you know. They have something to sell, you know. They want you to get readings from them. So, you know, and if you look around, you know, at any given time you can get a psychic to come on your show, or you can get a paranormal team to talk about, you know, their investigations. And, you know, I feel that it's boring radio because it's really, you know, like, okay, what places have you investigated? Okay, what equipment do you use? Well, you know what? Basically, people are investigating similar places, and they're all using similar equipment. And unless you have something that's an advanced technology, then I'll talk to you on the show, because you have something interesting to bring to the table and to enlighten people, you know. But as far as, you know, or the psychic thing, you know, when did you know you were psychic? You know, what did your family feel about you being psychic? I mean, this is not interesting radio. So we became a bit more selective with our guests as far as, you know, the content. And, you know, not that it's a disclaimer, you know, like, but, you know, it's not necessarily our view just because we have a guest on that it's their world. It's not ours, you know, but whatever we find interesting, we'll bring on. You know, it's up to them to also to convince us. And I have to say, we do quite a bit research on even the guests in terms of, you know, if they have a book, we read the book. You know, we don't just have you on and just let you talk about the book, because we'll have some insight into, you know, the conversation.
We just had 5 books sent to us today.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have some shows. I have Synchronicity. I have a book on Synchronicity. We have Poltergeist Phenomenon. We have The Real Men in Black, Lost Civilizations, The World's Creepiest Places. We have a lot of good shows lined up, and I have all these books sitting here that'll be read. So, you know, we do pick, you know, unusual topics sometimes, and, you know, the guest, you never know how a guest's going to be, and you know that, doing shows, and but we do our best to deliver something that everyone else isn't necessarily doing. I mean, but, you know, so that sums up my view. What about you?
I concur. No, listen, you know, what I like to do is I like to ask people who they want on our show, and we go out and try, and most of the times we do. So it's like a little game for us, trying to get, you know, the people that everybody wants to hear. And
you know, Therese, I'm a technology person, and I create spreadsheets for everything, and I, you know, I have a list of about 175 paranormal topics that I go over and make, you know, and have a check mark next to we've done a show on this, and, you know, some of them I just, you know, cross out, and that we will never want to have a show on it, and, you know, and we just go from there, and, you know, not to repeat topics and, you know, things like that, so...
Very, very impressive, and definitely it's clearly evident that you people do your due diligence in preparing for these programs and in your work for the investigations, and also vetting your program experts as well. And, you know, Chris and Steph, I find that so admirable, that combination of your team, your investigation team's mission to really seek to assist others who report experiencing phenomena, whether it be important communications from past loved ones or relatives, or in breaking a very negative attachment, such as occurs with exorcism or oppression, and also at the same time to document the existence of these phenomena by means of scientific and photographic evidence. That's really admirable. Any more details on that? I just mean, it's just super.
Well, no, we use everything that we have, all our equipment, and we use me. So, and what's important to know, you know, a lot of people don't believe in using psychics on a paranormal team, and for what reason, I don't understand it. It makes absolutely no sense to me. But, you know, what I believe is, if we go into an investigation and I come up with something, it means absolutely nothing unless we can document it scientifically. You know, I could go someplace and say, okay, there's somebody here named Mary. If we can't get Mary to say her name on an EVP, who cares that I got the name Mary? It's irrelevant. It means absolutely nothing.
It's also worth mentioning that it serves as a validation. So if Chris says, okay, there's someone here named Mary, and then I use that EVP recorder, and it says Mary, you know, that's validation. You know, so the psychic serves a great deal, you know, purpose. You know, rather than just going in a room with a recorder and saying, hey, you know, say something, someone, and, you know, so there's a validation that occurs that I think is important.
I heartily agree with you, and, you know, darn, I hope so much to see you people soon returning to the TV waves as well. You've been on television in several programs, and also I'd like to hear you speak on Coast to Coast. Any new developments there?
Well, you know, the thing about Coast to Coast, we would love to get on Coast to Coast. from what I understand, the only way you can really get on Coast to Coast is if people want to hear you. So people have to send, like, letters to Coast to Coast.
No, we have to get Mr. Joe Montaldo to get us on Coast to Coast. That's what we have to do. He has...
You heard that,
He has the connections. He has the juice. We know it.
My co-hostess with the mostest is calling you out, Joe Montaldo.
Well, you know, as well, I was thrilled to see Dennis Reno's images there of yours are just posted now at his site, and you're among quite a very impressive collection of experts. I love both both renditions, both yours, Stephanie, and Chris's.
Well, you know, I love them both, too. The only thing is, my eyes are green, and he made my eyes brown. Other than that,
he can't tell
perfect.
From the photos that were sent to him.
I have beautiful eyes, Stephanie.
You're not as beautiful as mine.
That does, too.
I'm actually very impressed with his collection of cartoons. I mean, they're really impressive.
Teresa, do you have one?
No, I don't. And, you know, it's funny. I was going up for, unfortunately, I didn't get the job. I wish so much that I had, but it was one where I was supposed to have a special clearance. I've never had a clearance. I was so excited about this job, but I guess I just wasn't the candidate for it. Of course, I am rather overage for it. But anyway, so at the time, I didn't have my caricature done, but gee, I wish I had. But that's okay. I think it's very impressive that you guys are in that very elite group of experts.
Well, thank you.
Well, we think you should be there as well.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I'm hoping, and I know Joe is as well, that at the upcoming conference there that Joe is planning in the South, that you definitely will be heading the paranormal department there, division, for the paranormal presentations. It will be very important, I think.
Oh, I would love it. That would be fantastic. I know Stephanie, I could speak for Stephanie on this, I think, when I say we would be honored to be there.
It would be more work for me.
So well worth it. And, you know, we have about a minute and a half. And Steph and Chris, I will again advise the audience about important upcoming events, including that Paranormal Expo and also your upcoming seances. And, boy, you are going to be in our thoughts there May 19th for that important for that exorcism. It sounds very important. God bless you. Guys, just take it away here. We have 1 minute left.
Good stuff.
All right. Well, I mean, if you guys want to hear our show, we're on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on this network. Like we mentioned earlier, what kind of shows we have. Our website is secondsightnyc.com, and you could always touch base with us there, or Steph and Chris at Second Sight on Facebook. I think that's about it.
And then this week we have a really cool guest, James Anito, and he's a demonologist. And
More
demon talk. Well, I think it's fitting because we're doing the exorcism Saturday, so we could talk to him, you know, a couple days before the exorcism, get his thoughts. I think it would make for some good radio.
And, Therese, thanks for having us on your show
again. Oh, it was a privilege and an honor.
You know, I was going to say, for me, it's an honor to have you people as my guests this evening. It was such an enjoyable discussion. Please be again return guests very, very soon. And I know all three of us now will be listening to Joe Montaldo as a guest on the upcoming program. Joe, are you there to give us some details about the program? Joe might be getting ready.
I always say, God, are you there?
Oh, here it is. I just found it. I scrolled up. It's going to be the Midnight Highway Show. The program website is www.themidnighthighway.com. And again, Joe Montaldo will be featured as guest. That should be starting in about 4 minutes' time. And again, everyone, please don't miss each Thursday on the network that excellent show, Second Sight NYC, with our talented and expert co-hosts, psychic medium Chris George and Stephanie Benetti. And again, their websites, www.secondsightnyc.com and www.secondsightnycradio.webs.com. Great evening. We really appreciate your time with us. And again, great weekend.
And thank you very much. And let us know if you broke the record tonight.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us this evening on A Global Focus with guests, psychic medium Chris George and Stephanie Benetti, co-hosts of Second Sight NYC. We appreciate your time and wish you a great weekend.